As the 19th century gave way to the 20th, it was clear to almost everyone, except Britain's First Minister, Lord Salisbury, that the times, they were a-changing, and Salisbury, somewhat out of place in a future that was just about to embrace the motor car, powered flight and radio, a relic of a bygone era, presided over a British Empire that was slowly unravelling, where England, like Holland, France and Germany, had built up substantial dominions abroad. The world was changing too, far too quickly for the traditionalists like him, who found it hard to accept how transport and communication have been revolutionized in a few short years by rail travel and the electric telegraph, and harder still to accept the growing aspirations of the ordinary worker who, while paying tax, wasn't granted the right to vote. The era of Victorianism in England was drawing to a close, along with its aging and humourless figurehead clinging on to life long after her sell-by date. At home, there have been 6 decades of rapid social and economic change that had seen a mass migration of labour away from the land to the cities, a large-scale manufacturing industry, and along with it, growing frustration with uncaring and corrupt rulers, while abroad, many colonies longed for independence. The pace of change, Salisbury reasoned, too quick and requiring restraint, so when various uprisings went on to take place in India, Africa, and Ireland, rather than grant concessions, preferred military intervention. Indian and Irish independence was to take a full 90 years, longer than any single man's lifespan. The often abstract notion of freedom itself being like a relay racer's baton, kept alive by being passed on between 3 generations of fathers and sons. In the 1970s, Queen's Freddie Mercury famously sang, "I want to ride my bicycle, I want to ride my bike, I want to ride it where I like." And from the 1920s, Michael Collins wanted little more than the freedom to ride his bike when and where he liked, without the petty restrictions imposed upon him by an army of occupation, with nightly curfews and roadblocks on every street corner. It's today's 3-Minute Theatre.
On Sundays, people go to mass, and some go on a hike, and some go dancing with their lass. I go and ride my bike. Down Sackville Street by bike I go, along the old canal, from GHQ to GPO, so oft I cannot tell. £10,000 are on my head, but still my bike I race. The foreign forces want me dead, but they forgot my face. Through all patrols, round every fence, and voicing my dislike, bastards. Through all the raids of black and tans, I go and ride my bike. And now the foreign forces sent their master's spies to kill the members of our government, but I don't think they will. At 9, we're standing at the door, the final blow we'll strike, and then, a free man evermore, I'll go and ride my bike.
To Michael Collins, freedom meant the ability to ride his bike through the city of Dublin without restriction. The act of riding a bicycle, symbolic of greater social and political freedom for his people. A future in which people could think and act freely. And memories of indiscriminate beatings and imprisonment without trial would eventually become a distant memory.
The poem Dublin Cycle was written by Frank L. Ludwig, narrated by Martin Smith, read by Chris Kennedy, and produced by me, Jack Nolson.